self-fulfillment. They want to enrich their individual lives. They don't want to stop until they have developed every potential. They want to get the fullest harvest possible from their life. The harvest of self-gratification is a dangerous pursuit, dear people. And that's what the people want you to have in this society. They want you to have the mind to just look for things that please you as an individual. The human being hasn't become a very great and important creature on this earth because he has been self-centered, interested in his own individual appetites and needs. He has become the great, supreme creature in among the creatures of the earth because he has broadened his interest. His interest has grown from himself as an individual to his wife, to his baby, to his neighbor, to his neighborhood, to his state, to his nation, to the world. And as his interest left himself and began to include others outside of himself, he became a great creature. He was able to do great things. He distinguished himself from the group B because his interest left self-interest and went out to include others in his interest. The charge is just coming off the media, newspaper, magazine, comic book, everything, movie houses, everything is saying, forget about everybody else. You're the only one that matters. We should catch those devils and hurl them, or chop their heads off. Believe me, if we could identify them, we should catch them and then execute them on TV.
A verse of wisdom, a chapter of wisdom. You must bring
out the beauty, the logic of the Islamic life. We must impart that to the people, so the people will be rational as well as emotional in their religious life. Sure, we want to be feel-good. Sure, we want to feel good. But there come a time when you have to accept to feel bad.
have the muscles of self-restraint. How much dope could they sell in our neighborhood if we had the muscles of self-restraint? Could they divide us one against another? Could they isolate us from each other and just use up our monies and use up our life? Deny us the fruits of our labor? Deny us an opportunity to even work? Could they do this if we had great self-restraint? No! Our muscles of self-restraint would be the power we need to overcome what they're doing against us. We'd be prepared to battle them with nothing but our own human strength.
Our Quran and the example established in the life of Prophet Muhammad, to go after this man, after this fashion, after this personality, after these goods? No. We have to discipline our whole life with the yardstick of our religion. Take that rule and discipline your whole life. If you want to enjoy the material things of life, then check the Quran and see what rules should be applied as you go out to enjoy the material things in this life. See what it demands of you as a person going out for the material things in this life. If you think you're so handsome that everybody should swoon when they look at you, and that has become your mind and your life, your own beauty, then search the Quran and see what rules should be applied to your mind. See what the Quran says about vanity. You're able to master your environment.
Allah has given you that.
Not because of you.
You stop following Allah and start depending on yourself, and you, everything in the environment will start to master you. Yes.
Dear beloved brothers and sisters, Allah says in the Quran, say, let us come to common terms between ourselves and you. This is a Muslim saying to preachers and others who are guilty of associating God with God. Let me raise not up from among ourselves, Lord, other than Allah. That's very clear, very plain, that no individual should ever think that he or somebody in his creation or his society can be a God, or he is a God. Here is the God, Jesus Christ. He is the God. God has manifested him. God is in him. Oh no, the flesh is not God, but God is in him. How is that any different from the one who builds an idol of clay or iron, and he says, here's my God. And you say, oh, that's not God. And you break the clay. He said, oh, I was in the clay. It wasn't God. But God is in the clay. And you haven't heard God. You only broke my clay. And refute to God, this is Brother Joseph. He said, he's God. You see, refute him and kill him. And his worshipers say, you didn't kill God. You only killed his body. Body can say the same thing, or the iron body, or the brass body. He says, this is God, he can say the same thing. You didn't hurt my God, you just destroyed his body. And in the Quran, Allah shows us that really, the one who makes a human being a God, he's just as stupid as the one who makes the clay God, or iron God, or wood God. They say, oh, we know that these things are not God. But they are mediums to bring us to God. Through these things, we reach God. In other words, the thing we made with our hand housed the Spirit of God. You see, that's what they say. The same thing that the Christian will say who thinks Jesus to be God. That all his flesh is not God, but his flesh housed God. God was in him. This is a serious thing for us. Very serious thing. You'd be surprised to know how many Muslims have been led astray, have been led away from really pure Islamic thinking to really accept this un-Islamic thinking and to believe that man is also divine, that man has divinity in him. That if man gets the Spirit of God in him, then he is what that time God is in him, then there is God. Someone puts the expression in the Quran that Allah is the hidden and the manifest, to mean that God is hidden, yet there's an aspect that is hidden. There's a form that is hidden, but there's a form that is apparent, that you can see. No. Many things are apparent. Allah is never physically apparent. Any physical thing is by its own presence and nature inferior, imperfect, subject to decay. Is there any dying thing in Allah? Is there anything that
change. But a lot undergo no change. Time, years, slumber, sleep, nothing of the material nature touches him. Yes, a lot. But you will find some people who say they are Muslim, believing that a man can house a lot. How can a man house a lot?
Oh, but brother, the Quran says that Allah hovers between a man's heart and his desire.
Certainly. But you can't bear, you can't say there's a law. Can I say there is a law? In the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, anywhere you turn your face, there is a law. So if I say, if somebody says Allah is in Brother John, so-and-so, I say, well, how can it be that Allah says anywhere I turn my face, there is a law? So there is a law. Everywhere, any point, there is a law, there is a law, there is a law, any point, there is a law. So how can he be housed in a man? Oh, for something of him is in me. I have something of his roar.
Okay, you got something of his roar. Okay, something of his roar. All right, is in you.
So you're telling me then that you got a piece of Allah and somebody else may have a piece, and Allah just in pieces all about. I got something of his roar. Indeed. So Allah just pieced up like that, huh? We have to be aware of this kind of thinking. This kind of thinking keeps us from getting the benefits of our religion. Yes. We can never get the benefits of our religion when we are not having the right concept of Allah. You see? Allah says that He has given every human being something of His will.
Each other. by his very being. He does that.
For everything of reality, there are influences. If anything exists, it has influence.
Everything,
of course, everything, everything that meets the mind has influence. So if we concentrate on the existence of Allah, the oneness of Allah, if we see Allah as he should be seen, then we have influences coming to us from Allah. And Allah has made our nature as human beings agreeable with that influence. He has made us to want that kind of influence. He has made this life natural. He has made this life to seek higher development. He has made this human life to seek unity. Life seeks unity. Human life. The human being wants to see things in their wholeness, in their totality. This is the thirst of the human being. To bring the pieces of the puzzle together until it's whole, until it's complete. This desire in us searches for understanding in the world and in the environment. And as we search and search and search, we find evidence that this creation is one. That this creation is under one law. And it's one creation. And we come to the conclusion that it had one designer, one Allah. Our very nature leads us to the oneness of God. Our very nature leads us to worship that God, to submit to that God, to give our full life and service to that God. Our very nature inspires us to go in that direction. So Allah has put it into our nature to find Him. Yes, He has put it into our nature to find Him. We have in our nature the desire to see things unified, to see wholeness, to see unity, to see consistency. We don't like finding discord. We don't like finding disunity. We don't like finding things broken up and scattered from each other. We can't rest until we find another peace. We want to see things in their totality. Is that right? Yes. So our very nature leads us to find wholeness, leads us to find unity. And when we find it, we find one. Allah is one. And He has made the whole creation on the principle of oneness. He has made our life on the principle of oneness. So we have in us the very driving force that is of Allah's being. His driving force is oneness coming from His uniqueness. Is that right?
Yes.
And we have in us the driving force to find oneness. So in this sense and in this sense alone are we in the image of God. We are not in the image of God, but God has given us a driving force that is like His own being, that drive us to truth, to oneness. And if you study the history of society, the history of man, you see that man is growing more and more to wholeness, more and more to oneness. There used to be tribal arguments. Now there are arguments in the United Nations.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Used to be local fires. Now the fire is global. Because God is bringing things whole together. He's bringing the pieces of the puzzle together. So that man will see that creation is one. Humanity is one. Your Creator is one.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I got the Spirit of God. Do you have the Spirit of oneness? If you don't, you don't have the Spirit of God. Oh, I got the Spirit of God. Do you have the Spirit of truth? Absolute truth? Then you don't have the Spirit of God. And this Spirit doesn't come to you by God saying,
And you say, no, it's in your nature. It's an influence in your nature. One God has created you, and the stamp of oneness is on you and everything else he made.
And your life is driven toward unity and oneness. And you find peace, and you find dignity, when you find wholeness and unity and oneness and one God to worship. Yes. This is a simple knowledge that will bring us together and make us productive and progressive. Away. And there's a place.
to be productive, satisfied, rational. When a law is the key for bringing about rational behavior in the people. Superstition, plurality of gods, many gods, never bring about intelligent behavior in the people. Their intelligence is subject to the conditions, to the circumstances. Change the conditions, change the circumstances, and a people that were once behaving intelligently start to behave like they have no sense at all. That's because their intelligence have not yet found the reality. And the reality is that God is one. And he has created everything to yield to his oneness. To yield to his oneness. And in yielding to him and him alone, everything is brought in harmony, in some kind of consistent harmony with each other. Don't you know man can't live at war with his environment? He has to make peace with his environment. The environment will tempt us. It tempts us. But we have to deal with it. We have to learn to deal with the environment and to not let the environment enslave us, but to use it for our Lord's pleasure. We have to find the common relationship, the common link between us and everything in the physical world. This book, it has a place, it has a service. The earth, the physical ground, it has a place, it has a service. I have a relationship with it. We can find all of that by giving ourselves to the worship of one Allah. That's the key. It's the key to intelligent living. That's what I'm trying to say to you, dear brothers and sisters. The belief in one Allah is the key to intelligent living. Your forces, your energy will then be influenced by that is conducive to the better development of your life. Your life won't be under adverse influences anymore. The influences will be productive. They will be helpful. How can Allah promise the believer freedom from grief and greed from free and freedom from fear or from worry? Because once you worship him and him alone, everything that was once adversely affecting your life will begin to affect your life in a good way. The things that once made trouble for you make no trouble for you anymore. You benefit from them. All praise is due to Allah. Allah can give you the benefit of this whole creation. But you have to first recognize that this is his creation, not yours. And that he owns it by himself. Nobody sharing it with him. He owns you. You belong to Allah. All of us. Well, what do I have that belongs to me? Your free will. That's yours. That's what you have that belongs to you. Your free will. That's yours. You can accept it or you can throw it away. But now, what does Allah ask of us? He gives us everything. Nothing we have of our own. Except our free will. But then look what he asked of us. Now I have given you everything. Now you have free will. That's yours. You can use it as you please. I won't interfere with it. Now since
you yourself couldn't have come into that free will without a law. Then all that I'm going to ask of you, if you do this, I'm going to give you the best you can dream of. I'm going to give it to you.
Old by that other thing. And believe